This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sharafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran. Khumma ba'du. My brothers and sisters, we come to the fourth of the lessons from the Battle of Uhud, where we can look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated mistakes of the Sahaba. It's interesting to note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never praised the Muslims for victory in any battle. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimanded the Muslims on the issue of prisoners of war in Badr, even though the Muslims won the battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not praise them for their bravery or for winning. This is because all victory is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and by His leave, by His permission. It is not something that can or should be ascribed to one's own efforts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to save the Muslims from feelings of pride or arrogance, and so in the Battle of Badr, He took them to task for asking for ransom and said that if it were not for the fact that ransom had been permitted, He would have punished the Muslims for asking for ransom instead of executing the prisoners. In Uhud, on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He has already forgiven you. Now, when the Muslims were at fault of disobeying Rasulullah and leaving their post for the love of booty, and so they suffered a great defeat and were injured both physically and psychologically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised their spirits by saying that He had already forgiven them. Number five lesson, taking part in the struggle and not losing heart. Now this is very important. Allah said, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُوفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and many a prophet, that is from many amongst the prophets, fought in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's cause, and along with him fought large bands of religious scholars, but they never lost heart for that which did befall them in Allah's way. Meaning that they, in some battles they would have lost, despite the fact that they were all pious people. Nor did they weaken nor degrade themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the sabireen, the people who are patient and steadfast. And they said nothing but, our Rabb, forgive our sins and our transgressions in keeping, you know, in keeping our duties to you. Establish our feet firmly and give us victory over our enemies, over the disbelievers. So Allah gave them the reward of this world and excellent reward of the hereafter. And Allah loves the Al-Muhsinun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us examples from our predecessors that they made tawbah for their sins and they remained steadfast and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this dua and made them victorious. So again, lesson that if we are winning, we must not become arrogant. If we are losing, we must not lose hope. In both cases, we must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and continue in the good effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَصَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't want to go into the detail of this later on in another time for that, but just to make the point that when you see the nusra of Allah, when you see the help of Allah, and how will you see the help of Allah? Not through conquering of territory and not through, loot and so on and so forth. You see the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming when people enter, because of your efforts, people enter the deen of Islam, not in ones and twos, but in large multitudes. What must you do then is, فَسَبِّهْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make his tasbih, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا, and seek forgiveness. What is the forgiveness? You did a good thing. Alhamdulillah, your effort successful. Forgiveness from arrogance. Forgiveness from ascribing the success to yourself. Forgiveness from boasting about it. Forgiveness from imagining that it was your efforts which helped, because it was the will of Allah. Hearts are changed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by people. Just as we protest, if somebody says forcible conversion is impossible, which is a fact, so conversion by the sword or by the gun is impossible, which is a fact. Similarly, therefore, ascribing conversion to your effort is equally false. People convert for their own reasons. They change their belief because the new belief makes sense to them. So it's very important to understand this. Make istighfar and tawbah. When you see success in the deen, never ascribe it to yourself. Point number 6, consequences of disobedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu atiu allaha wa atiu rasula wa ulil amri minkum fa'in tanaza'tum fi shay'in farudduhu ila allahi wa rasulihi in kuntum tu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhiri dhalika khayrun wa ahsanu ta'wila. Allah said, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those of you and those of you who are in authority. So the Muslims who are the leaders, or if in other cases the Muslim scholars, so believe them. And if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you believe in Allah and in the last day, that is better and more suitable for final determination, for your final success. So referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam means to refer to the Quran and Sunnah in any matter that we may differ in. This is the fundamental principle of the Sharia, that where there is a text, we go by that. And where there is a dispute, we refer to the text, which is the Quran and the Sunnah. We do not try to change the text or try to interpret the text in our own way, which makes it suitable for us, meaning to twist the text or to change the text or to attempt to do that in order to make it compatible with whatever we wanted to do. This is haram. This is something which is, depending on what particular aspect you change, it can become shirk, it can become kufr. So where there is a text, where there is the word of Allah or the word of Rasulullah, we don't argue. Point number 7, preferring dunya over akhirah. Now, this issue is one that has remained with us from the beginning. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. The story of Muslims with the booty of war is a sad one. Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu said that the ayat of Surah Al-Anfal were revealed because the Sahaba disputed about the booty. And this is in the battle of against the Banu Saqif. The Battle of Hunain. The conquest of Western Europe again, if you look at it, came to a halt because of disputes of booty. Abdul Rahman al the governor of Andalus, Abdul Rahman al Qafiqi, he was the Amir and was leading them into Gaul from Spain. So Gaul is modern France, and they were just 100 kilometers from Paris after conquering 2/3 of Gaul, which is modern day France. But by then they were loaded with booty and their spirit suffered as a result. The soldiers became more concerned about the booty and protecting it than about fighting. So the Muslims were defeated in the Battle of Tours, which is also called the Battle of Poitiers, and the Battle of the Highway of the Martyrs. Ma'araka Bilat al-Shuhada. Ma'araka Bilat al-Shuhada. The Battle of the Highway of the Martyrs, because of the number of Muslims who got killed in that battle. And this was fought on the 10th of October 732. It resulted in the victory of the Frankish soldiers, Frankish and the Aquitanian forces led by Charles Martel over the invading Muslim forces of the Umayyad Khilafah, led by Abdurrahman al-Ghafiqi, the governor of Andalus. Abdurrahman rahmatullahi himself got killed. He was shaheed in this battle. Several historians such as Edward Gibbon have credited the Christian victory in the battle as an important factor in curtailing the Islamization of Western Europe. Imagine if that battle had succeeded, the whole of Europe would have been Muslim. It took another 800 years, but the battle was the beginning, this battle was the beginning of the end of Muslim rule in Europe. And the cause of it was the love of booty and dunya. So it's very, very important. Point number 8, that the religion, Islam, comes above everything else. Islam comes above everything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولُ أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ آقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more than a messenger, meaning he is a messenger, not anything more than that. That is the highest status, that is the most powerful, most important being on the face of the earth, which is the messenger. But he is not God, he is not Allah, he is not worthy of worship. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more than a messenger, and indeed many messengers have passed away before him. If he dies or is killed, will you then turn back on your heels as disbelievers? And he who turns back on his heels, not the least harm will he do to Allah. And Allah will give a reward to those who are grateful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Rasulullah is human, and so he will die one day. If he dies, will you turn away from Islam? And if you do turn away from Islam, Allah says, Allah does not need you. But if you stick to the religion, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. This shows that Islam is not dependent on any individual, including the noble person of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that victory is not dependent on any particular leader. Allah is with the believers if they are true to the faith, but will not support them if they change their focus or commitment away from Islam, even if Rasulullah ﷺ is himself with them. Now think about this. The battle of Uhud, the defeat happened even though the Nabi ﷺ was with them, because of people who disobeyed him. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said to the people when Rasulullah ﷺ passed away, whoever worshipped Muhammad ﷺ, Muhammad ﷺ is dead. Whoever worshipped Allah, Allah never dies. Then he recited this ayah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that it was as if I had heard it for the first time in my life. We come to the way that Rasulullah was directed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deal with the archers who disobeyed him and the munafiqeen who had abandoned the Muslims and were trying to discourage them. With the archers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُوا عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. And had you been severe and harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from you. So pass over their fault, ignore their faults, and ask Allah's forgiveness for them, and consult them in the affairs. Then when you have taken a decision, put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who put their trust in Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it a mercy from Him that Rasulullah was able to deal with the Sahaba with softness. In this case, with the archers, Rasulullah is being asked to forgive the archers and ask forgiveness for them and to continue to make shura, even though the shura made earlier led to the defeat probably, and then take a firm decision and have tawakkul. Now this shura, which as we are saying led to a defeat, refers to the shura that was made before the Battle of Uhud, where Rasulullah asked the Sahaba for their advice. The older ones among them, they said, let us stay in Medina and fight, because for the outside forces to come and fight in Medina is almost impossible. They will be, you know, they will be ambushed at every turn, and so we will win. But the younger ones, especially the ones who had not taken part in Badr and so on, they were very enthusiastic and they said, no, let us go out and fight. Eventually Rasulullah took their advice. And then when he went inside to change and put on his armor, the Sahaba felt that they had probably pushed him too much. So they asked Hamza Adelanu to go inside and to tell him that they were willing to go by whatever Rasulullah wanted them to do and they didn't want to push him. Now, Nabi himself at that time, he was also inclined to stay in Medina and, you know, allow the enemy to come to them. That would have been probably a better military tactic. But since he had agreed, he said it is not appropriate for a Nabi to take off his armor once he has put it on. So therefore, we will continue with that, with whatever we decided. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, to, even though that particular shura decision that they took, Wallah alam, maybe that was the reason why they lost the battle, because they went out there instead of staying at home. Allah says, still ask advice, keep them together with you, and the fact that you were kind with them and soft with them helped them to stay with you. With the munafiqeen, on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلْيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ ادْفَعُوا قَالُوا لَوْ نَعْلَمُ قِتَالًا لَاتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ هُمْ لِلْكُفْرِ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. They say with their tongues what is not in their hearts. وَاللَّهُ عَالَمُ بِمَا يَكْتُمُونَ. Allah said, and what you suffered of the disaster on the day of the Battle of Uhud, when the two armies met, was by the leave of Allah, in order that He might test the believers, and that He might test the hypocrites. It was said to them, come fight in the way of Allah, or at least defend yourself. And they said, had we known that fighting will take place, we would have certainly followed you. So this was all, you know, they're playing games. They were that day nearer to disbelief than to faith, saying with their mouths what was not in their hearts. And Allah has full knowledge of what they conceal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not punish the munafiqeen either, but He exposed their hypocrisy. This also shows that the logic that it is first necessary that all Muslims must become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and righteous before victory can come, this belief is wrong. There will always be those who sin and those who are disobedient and so on. Their conduct affects them, but not the entire Ummah. It is the conduct and the sins of the special group, of Taif al-Mansura, the special in-group, which affects all the Ummah. People who are normally pious and who are the leaders of the community, when they commit sins, when they do something wrong, this affects everybody. So these are the core group who are true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are sincere about Islam. If they start sinning and if they start doing something wrong, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment comes. The desertion of the munafiqeen, who were one third of the whole army, did not affect the outcome of Uhud. Allah still gave them victory. But it was the mutiny of the archers, who were only 50, And after that, 40 mutinied. Not even all the 50, only 40 mutinied. That caused the defeat because they were the Sahaba and they were good people. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعَدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah said, and Allah did indeed fulfill His promise to you when you were killing your enemy with His permission until that moment when you lost courage and fell to disputing about the order, meaning the order of Rasulullah, and disobeyed after He showed you the booty which you love. So after Allah showed you the booty which you love, you disobeyed the Rasul alayhi salam. Among you are some that desire this world and some that desire the hereafter. Then He, Jalla Jalaluhu, made you flee from them, your enemy, that He might test you. But surely He forgave you, and Allah is most gracious to the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly said that the cause of defeat was not the munafiqeen, but those who gave precedence to the dunya over the akhirah from among the sahaba. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu said, I did not know that there were among us those who desired the dunya over the akhirah. Uhud showed up this fatal weakness and showed its result in the defeat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us its result in the defeat. So these are the lessons that we learn from the Battle of Uhud. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to learn what He wanted to teach us. 8 lessons, alhamdulillah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to learn these lessons and to benefit from this in a true sense, where we, you know, where we are able to do something and live our lives in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we close this particular episode, let me talk to you about one more ghazwa, because it was this is the one in which the ayat of Salatul Khawf were revealed. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out with 400 sahaba, and this is called the ghazwatul Riqa. Riqa means rags. Abu Musa al-Ashari radhiyallahu anhu says, we went out in a ghazwa with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I was one of 6 men who were sharing a camel. So they didn't have material-wise nothing much with them. And he said, this was the, you know, state that we were in, where 6 men were changing. And then he said, the skin of my feet was peeling off and my nails were falling off. So we tied pieces of cloth to our feet as we walked. The enemy fled and there was no fighting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this whole thing, and also gave them the permission to pray and told them how to pray Salatul Khawf, the prayer of fear, meaning a prayer to be prayed at the time in battle. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ وَلَا يَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ وَلْتَأْتِي طَائِفَةٌ أُخْرَى لَمْ يُصَلُّوا فَلْيُصَلُّوا مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا حِذْرَهُمْ وَأَسْلِحَتَهُمْ وَدَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ تَغْفُلُونَ عَنْ أَسْلِحَتِكُمْ وَأَمْتِعَتِكُمْ فَيَمِيلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَيْلَةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنْ كَانَ بِكُمْ أَذًى مِّن مَّطَرٍ أَوْ كُنتُم مَّرْضَىٰ أَن تَضَعُوا أَسْلِحَتَكُمْ وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُّهِينًا فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِكُمْ فَإِذَا أَطْمَأْنَنْتُمْ فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Allah said, when you, Rasulullah SAW, O Messenger Muhammad SAW, are among them and lead them in Salah, let one party of them stand up in Salah with you, taking their arms with them. When they finish their sujood, let them take their positions behind, and let the other party come up, which has not yet prayed, and let them pray with you, taking all precautions and bearing arms. Those who disbelieve wish, if you were negligent of your arms and your baggage, to attack you in a single rush. But there is no sin on you if you put away your arms because of the inconvenience of rain or because you are ill, but take every precaution for yourself. Verily Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for the disbelievers. When you have finished a salah, which is the jama'ah, remember Allah standing, sitting down and lying down on your sides. But when you are free from danger, again establish a salah, aqimu salah. Verily the prayer is enjoined on the believers at fixed hours. This shows the importance of salah. Not only is salah prescribed in all circumstances, including during battle, but it is prescribed at fixed times. Now think about that. You might, it's not an imposition. You would want to pray especially during battle, because that's when you want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salah is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this salah is prescribed at fixed times. It is extremely important to adhere to these times and to ensure that we don't leave salah deliberately for any reason. Because to leave salah deliberately is kufr and renders the person out of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ahadul ladhi bainana wa bainahuma salah. فَمَنْ أَرَضَهَا فَخَدْ كَفَرَ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. He said, the ahad, the dividing line, the covenant, the boundary between them and us, meaning the non-believers and the believers, is salah. The one who has left salah, the one who has left salah has left Islam, has committed kufr. The only ibadah in Islam, the only act of worship in Islam for which there is no excuse, which has to be done at all, in any circumstance, is salah. For every other ibadah, there are conditions where people need not do it. But for salah, there is no excuse. Standing, sitting, lying down, moving your head, moving your fingers, with your eyelids. We must pray in all circumstances. There is no circumstance in which prayer is not required. This also shows the falsity of the argument of those who call salah charity and don't pray. Such are those who are placing themselves out of Islam by their own actions. Rasulullah ﷺ appointed guards, Ammar ibn Yasir and Abbad bin Bishr, that night when they camped. And while Al-Abbad radiallahu anhu was guarding and Ammar was sleeping, one of the enemy shot at Abbad radiallahu anhu, three arrows, one after another. After the third arrow, and imagine, this is the man standing and praying, arrows are hitting him in the body. Obviously, he was wearing chainmail, but despite that, the arrow penetrates, the arrow hits. So there is the impact, there is the energy of the arrow plus the wound, so bleeding. And after the third arrow, Abbad will bin Bishr radiallahu anhu, he woke up Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Ammar saw him in that state. He said, SubhanAllah, why didn't you wake me up? Why didn't you tell me before that? Ammar radiallahu anhu said, if it wasn't for the fact that this man kept shooting arrow after arrow, and I was afraid that I might die and thereby fail my responsibility to Rasulullah sallam, I would never have woken you until I finished my entire recitation. Now he asked him, what were you reciting? He said, Surah Al-Kahf. That shows you the level of Imam of the Sahaba, where Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu could actually continue to pray and retain his khushu despite taking three arrows in the body. This also shows the importance of our responsibility to Islam. Abba Radhalan used a phrase which meant guarding my gate, that is preventing the enemy from entering the gate which I was guarding. This is the responsibility of every Muslim. The enemy is Shaitan or anyone who wishes ill for Islam or the Muslims. It is the duty of every Muslim to use whatever means Allah has given him to prevent any harm from happening to Islam or the Muslims and to help Islam and the Muslims in any and every way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to live our lives in a way which is pleasing to him and to save us from ourselves and from displeasing Allah. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.